Welcome to Spaces Unscripted, the podcast for all things creative. I'm your host, Alyssa Esposito. And today I am joined with a very special guest. I'm here with Kaylee Nicole.
Hi.
Kaylee is a multi-talented singer, songwriter, and actress whose career has taken her from the entertainment industry in Los Angeles with TV and film, all the way to Nashville with country music, and now here in New York with theater. And she also just happens to be one of my very, very best friends. So lucky me for having her here today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. We are yappers.
I'm
just going to start
it off.
We're daily yappers. We do daily FaceTime calls. But this week we've saved it a lot.
We've saved it.
For the listeners.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
I'm so excited.
We're so in our element, but we've been prepping for this and we just keep saying to everybody, like, we really have to time ourselves because this could get, I had to outline because we can go on a whole riff.
We're going to need a shot clock.
We're going to need a shot clock. And we also, we tend to do this thing where we,
some might say, perhaps, that we tend to go on a bit of a bit.
Little bits.
Like, I don't know who would say that, but
everybody who's ever met us. Who's counting? So let's jump into it.
Okay.
I gave a quick little intro, but I want you to give the whole shebang.
Okay.
Tell me about you. What do you do? What is happening? As much as you can within, you know.
Okay. I'll try to
And then I'll throw off some questions.
Some questions.
I also
well.
Haven't prepped her with
No, anything, I really have no idea so. What is coming at me in the next 40 minutes. So
here we go.
Here we go.
Give us.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I have had the pleasure of being in entertainment and my career taking me a million different places. I started out in theater. I had my first professional gig when I was 9 years old. So it's been a little while, if you will. And it's been really fun. And I followed the film and TV theater path in Los Angeles for a long time. And that ended up actually leading me to songwriting as well, just kind of as an outlet of expression and finding myself in my teen years. And I wrote and recorded my first song when I was 14, which no one will ever be able to hear that one. That is gone from the internet.
Yeah, you have.
But no one else will ever be able to hear that one.
We met in acting class when we were 11 or 12, something. Yeah. So it's been a really
long time. And my career also took me to pursuing a college degree at USC, where I studied music industry. Very, very grateful for those years. And after I graduated from USC, I ended up moving to Nashville to pursue country music. And here we are. Well, how long has it been? What year is it? 6 years later.
What year are we in right now?
What year are we in? I really don't know. 6 years later, a little bit back to where it all started with theater, now in New York City.
Did you ever see yourself coming back to theater now?
Oh, I absolutely did. I didn't necessarily have the faith in myself that it would be this young. Mm-hmm. But I always knew it was coming and I always knew this was somewhere I wanted to end back up. And I always knew it was going to be a huge part of my career.
Yeah.
But I think a huge part of feeling like it was later was I was doubting my own talents and I was really scared to put myself back out there.
Yeah.
Having kind of stepped away from theater and acting and everything, it's really scary to jump back in as an adult versus as a kid.
Yeah.
It's a really different feeling. So for a long time, I thought, oh, well, later.
Yeah.
Later. Like, oh, if I ever get the call, I'm there. Mm-hmm. And I kind of woke up around 25, a couple years ago, and I was like, what am I waiting for?
Yeah.
Like,
well, and it's always been in there.
On a
personal level, it's always been there.
Like, yeah.
I don't think it ever went away. I think it was just dormant for a little. And I think in the entertainment industry, you take so many breaks.
Mm hmm.
You kind of have to take those breaks for several reasons, but and you have to live your life and you have to
do normal things,
you know, especially when you do start so young.
Yeah.
Take me back to the beginning. Did you know from very young that you always wanted to be a performer?
I absolutely did. I always make a joke that I don't know how my parents didn't give me up for adoption. I was so obnoxious. I would just jump up on the table.
Well, you might say that, but they might think it was,
I thought maybe it was cute. I would jump up on the table at parties and just start breaking out into singing Tomorrow or Wicked and whatever, and just to be singing popular through a party. And there was, so I've been told, as the story goes, I was dancing already at that time. I was a competitive dancer and at dance like 5 hours a day after school. And so allegedly I was during a party on the counter singing, forcing a show upon everyone. And I guess my grandma looked at my mom and was like, you know, she's not that bad. And my mom got me in my, that's Nana. Thanks, Nana. My mom put me in a voice lesson pretty much that next week, and it really just spiraled from there. And then in that, vocal coach had created a group called the Broadway Bound Divas.
Shout out.
Shout out to the Broadway Bound Divas. My first
Where
gig.
Where are they now?
My first gig. Hopefully Broadway Bound.
I hope so.
One can only hope. My first gig, Broadway Bound Divas, we did performances across Las Vegas. That was where we were living at the time. And we did nursing homes or this Lake Las Vegas. We always put on shows. And
I didn't know this.
Yeah. Wow. One of those, like, memories that sticks out to me so much, we did like a Christmas show. So we'd go all throughout the city performing this Christmas show. I mean, I don't really remember the exact number, but I think we were probably doing 3 or 4 shows a weekend. Again, I'm like 8 or 9 at this time.
Yeah.
And for the Christmas bit, there was one song where they had me dressed as a snowman. Come out on stage. And then there was another song I would sing. If you know it, you know it. All I Want for Christmas Is My 2 Front Teeth.
Oh, yeah.
I was missing both of my front teeth.
That's why they were like, put her as a snowman. They're like, this girl needs to be the snowman.
So the videos are so funny. There's
I
like,
love that.
In that whole little, I guess, kind of cabaret, for lack of a better word, you have me as a snowman
with no front teeth,
and then me singing All I Want for Christmas Is My 2 Front Teeth by Nick Diss.
If it makes you feel any better, my first breakout role was as Limburger Cheese in my Catholic school play.
What else would it be?
So,
well, you made it big time.
I did. You know what?
Unfortunately, you peaked early.
And from there, everything's downhill. So,
never come back.
So I didn't know that. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, but yeah, I did know that you've always had it in your blood.
It's always.
So,
been a thing.
And also in the early years, I kind of want to touch on how you got into TV and film and how that bridge from Vegas to
LA started happening. Oh yes. My goodness. So all around the same time, a whole group of girls, I was also in the Broadway Bound Divas.
BBD, if you will.
BBD. And in church choir. So a bunch of girls between like church choir and Broadway Bound Divas were driving to LA for the open call of the American Girl show. And I begged my mom to let me go. And again, it's an open call. So got in line at like 6 a.m. or something, waiting in the street. Luckily it's LA, so not cold. Thank heavens. Okay. But waiting in line, went through a ton of cuts that day. And my mom said she just kind of realized all of a sudden it was me and another girl left in the room. And my mom was like, uh-oh, I just took her here so she would stop asking what is happening.
Like,
something's actually happening.
Here we are.
So the director ended up following me out. And I was too young to be in the show at the time. I was still 9. But she told my mom that if I wanted to come back next year when I turned 10, they would find a place for me in the show. So, again, this is all mostly going off of what my mom has told me. But if you've ever been to the American Girl store or seen it in LA, it's at the Grove. So I guess we got on the trolley after that, and I was very sad.
And because you weren't 10.
Yeah, because I wasn't 10. And keep in mind, I'm a very chatty person. So when I'm sad and I'm quiet, it's pretty obvious. Yeah. So I guess I was just like, and she said, I just raised my head and I go, I think I'd like to come back next year. So if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to come back next year.
That's so funny.
So
and you did.
I did. No. We went back next year. I got cast in the show, but still living in Las Vegas. So God bless my mother, God bless Andy, would drive to LA. I would do, there was about 5 shows a day and a bunch of rotating casts. So you could have anywhere from 2 to 3 shows a day or just one. So I'd go do the shows. We'd sleep in LA, wake up at 3 in the morning, jump in the car, drive to LA, and I would be sitting back at my desk at school in Las Vegas by 7:30.
She's like, I'm just an ordinary girl.
Meanwhile, she's like a full-on American Girl doll during the day, and then at school she's like,
no, it's fine, I'll do algebra. Really,
and I know this sounds so crazy saying now, but it didn't seem that weird. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, of course. Also because LA is right there. It's so close. So really, it didn't feel that wild.
And it's a story that you hear often. Mm-hmm. I was living on this, side of the country, so I didn't know. But once I had gotten to LA,
it's pretty
the story of consistent. How many parents are driving. But those,
West
it's
Coast.
Dedicated.
It's dedication. Literally, you love your kid.
Yeah.
But anyway, through that show, another girl's agent came to the show and met me in the lobby and after the show and asked if I'd ever considered doing TV or film. Yep. And I was like, not really, but sure. And went and took a meeting with her and signed, did TV and film from there.
Yeah.
So I guess really scouting kind of for TV and film.
Yeah.
In a
and
way.
That's
how it came to be.
But did you think, when you were little, do you think you saw yourself more as a TV film actress, or did you see yourself, or did you even, were you just like, I don't even know, I just want to be performing in some capacity?
A little bit of I just want to be performing in some capacity, but I think definitely in my brain was more theater. I was listening to Wicked. I was listening Fair. To, yeah, like I was such a theater kid through and through. I wanted to play Annie so bad. I was in community theater. So I definitely saw myself more in the theater world. Mm-hmm. But I also loved TV and film, and I just loved acting. Yep. I loved performing. So yep. I was like, sure.
And just so I can say this because I was there. Truly, truly, truly so talented. Kaylee is true. And I'm not just saying that because she's sitting at the table with me. She really, really is
I'll hide if
so talented. She was the girl in acting class that I before we were friends, I was like, oh my God, this girl is so good. I would go home and talk to my mom. I'd be like, this girl is so talented. Just genuinely from 11, 12. I mean, when I met you, just like, would do improv scenes that were, I feel like someone who was 25 would be doing. Just really, really,
for better,
really talented.
For worse.
For better or for worse. Yeah. But I mean it. You've always, and it, that's when I say it really has been in your blood.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I feel like I can say that.
Oh, thank you.
So this question, uh-oh, and then we'll dive into Nashville, but did you feel pressure to stick with one lane, because you've done so many different things? You've done theater, you've done TV and film, you've done songwriting, country music, now theater again. Have you felt pressure, even with college, to stick with one
100%
lane and be like, well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not even going to worry about everything else.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I even still feel it now because I'm more focused on theater in New York City, but I still love country music and still care about it and still pursue that. But it's always been this constant battle, and I always look at people above me with the careers I want to have where they are juggling it all. You've got Ben Platt, who's on Broadway and then is in LA recording his album and then on tour for his album, then on tour for a Broadway national tour or whatever it is. And I think it feels really hard being independent at the earlier stages of a career and doing that, because it's like, well, if I have my toes in so many different places, mm-hmm, how can I like actually be planting seeds in those places? But, and that is truly a consistent thing running through my brain. But the one thing I will say, if it's any encouragement to somebody listening, maybe in the same boat, the seeds are growing.
And that's less of like a tap on the back to me to be like, oh, the seeds are growing. That's like, don't be afraid. Yeah. Because I think when you actually just start putting yourself out there, the truth is, because I'm here in dance class, in Nashville and Wrights, it's just like strengthening everything from all angles. And I'm getting more and more confident in myself and in my craft from every angle, whether that's songwriting, dance, acting, singing, whatever. The confidence and training is just continuing to grow. Yep. So I think that it's something to not be afraid of and to actually soak up and enjoy that, like, I have so many different environments that I am consistently learning from. Mm-hmm. I am consistently on my toes.
And comfortable with it, almost.
Learning to get comfortable with it.
Yeah, I think, and that's really why I started the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Is because even though you don't know, okay, I have my toes in so many different places, and this doesn't make sense, but then it kind of all comes together.
All of the experiences
that you've had make sense of why you had them to get you to where you are now. Literally. But the ride is scary.
The ride's a little scary.
So you mentioned a few of your inspirations. Mm. Who would you say, and it doesn't have to be anybody, you know, who would you say are some of your inspirations that are pushing you forward, but along the years, I would say, even if it's coaches, whoever, that have really shaped you.
Consistently changed, and I am so consistently grateful to, like you said, the coaches in my life, because I've had so many negative experiences with casting directors or whatever, but when I look beside me, there's been so many coaches that have stood next to me and always encouraged me along the way. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, is that right? Why did that sound wrong?
No, sometimes it's like I can't spell the word
that
house.
That doesn't sound right.
You know, when you look at, you're like, how do I spell house? And then you try to spell it, you're like, that's not.
Did I just say words from the English language?
First and foremost. My coaches, Richard and Rachel, truly, like, talking about those 11 and 12 year old years, that's when they met me. And I'm 27 now and still see them to this day.
Yep.
And I am so grateful for them. They've encouraged every pivot, every change, every move, taking theater more behind the scenes. They've encouraged everything and supported me and always believed in me. So people like that, I'm so grateful for. But I think there's been so many moments, whether that's on the country music side or theater side, where you kind of see someone and in the best way possible, you go, I'm not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of untapped potential behind here that I'm not hitting. One of those for me on the country music side in college years was Caitlin Smith.
Okay.
She is so unbelievably talented. Probably, like, you will Google her name, one unbelievable singer. Like, her albums just hit you like a rock in the chest. She's such a good songwriter, but like, she's written songs for Miley Cyrus. Like, she's done so much. She's so incredible.
Wow.
And I listened to her very first album, came out in 2018, and I remember listening to it and I just went, whoa,
I need to do more.
I can do more.
Do you feel like that catapulted you into wanting to pursue country music?
I think I was already kind of pursuing country music, but it almost actually, interesting enough, kind of catapulted a little bit the theater back into my life, because I think vocally I'd been selling my voice short for a really long time, and I kind of heard her sing and I was like, I used to be able to sing like this, like, I used to do this stuff too. Mm-hmm. And that's what, then I was like, I need to get back to work. Like, I've been slacking and I have been settling for, like, being like, oh, I can't do it. I can't well, do it like I can't do it so I'll just not do it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, and especially when you take those gaps.
Yeah, especially when
you take
those gaps.
Because after you take those gaps, then you're like, ugh.
And it's scary to admit that you're not the best you could be at something. That's really hard to do. And I'm really proud of 18-year-old Kaylee for doing that, for being like, I'm not as good as I used to be or could be. Mm-hmm. And I need to snap out of it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just like settling for this level and being like, this is what I do.
Yep.
When there's a whole other bit. And there's been so many like women like that for me on every end. But another huge one on the theater end is Megan Hilty. And I love right now watching the current Elphaba on Broadway, Mary-Kate Morrissey. She is so unbelievably talented. And I think something you've heard me say in talking about her in our little yap sessions, she really approaches playing Elphaba on Broadway like an athlete.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
And you have gotten me into watching her videos.
Watching her videos are just so inspiring because, again, another point where, like, because some days I feel crazy when it's like, oh my gosh, I feel like there's so much I need to do to get my voice ready to sing. Yeah. I'm probably not a good singer. And then you watch her videos.
Please.
Like the... And then, like, you watch someone like that who's training like an athlete, who wakes up every single day with a regimen to do this show at her 100%. You're like, oh, no, that's what we're all supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of social media, too.
That is.
That it really could pick you. It's like,
yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, negatives and positives, but I think
it's in the best way, a little bit. And even for me, it was like, oh, okay, so something's not wrong with your voice if you need to steam every day.
Yeah.
That is a good thing.
That is good.
That is good. And kind of just things like that that aren't super talked about, where, like, you almost just learn from doing, mm-hmm. and they're kind of almost like these kept secrets throughout the industry of, like, well, but if you do this, your voice mm-hmm. will feel great every day. And it's great to just, like, have these things out in the open and talked about, and more like, no, it takes a lot to consistently show up vocally every single day.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part of it is like any side of the job. Talking about country music, theater, that's the hardest part of the job is consistency. Yeah. And I love her for really putting a highlight on that and emphasis on that. And you know what? It shows.
Yeah.
I saw her in the show in July, and it's just like so effortless and easy for her. But of course, it's not effortless.
No, it's
1,000 hours of work.
Yeah.
But that's what I love.
She makes it look like
She makes it look. She has done so much work and beyond what you could do or can do, mm-hmm. and it shows.
And you've adopted a lot of those things.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Trying to.
You've adopted a lot of the.
Trying to.
So going back to college.
Hmm. Oh.
I know that personally that transition of, it's a very scary thing when you're giving 150%, especially as being homeschooled or independent mm-hmm. studied is what we were. Mm-hmm. We did independent study, which basically means we would go into school once a week and we would meet. It was school. And we would meet with our.
It was school.
It was school. But it was so cool. It was the best. And we would meet with our teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Loved our teachers.
Yeah.
And we would meet with our teacher for an hour and we would go over our stuff, but it was all kids that were in the industry, and we were all in the same boat, and some at other places, some on set, some in Disney shows, Nick shows, like all over the place.
Yeah.
And then us. Can you take me to the point where you decided that you wanted to go to college? Because I personally know the struggle of feeling like, okay, well, I've given, you know, this amount of time to the industry, and I've spent so much time dedicating to that, and all of my friends are doing the same thing, and then deciding, okay, well, I actually want to go to traditional school. I want to go to college. Mm-hmm. And especially USC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So take me back to that and how you decided that it was time and that you wanted to do that.
Well, I actually got accepted to USC for theater, mm-hmm. which, as you know, came at a very interesting time for me with acting and all that, as you said, setting it aside. And the reason I had kind of been bombarded up against pausing what I know now is pausing, but I didn't at the time. I didn't know it was just a pause, or wasn't sure.
Yeah, you're still growing.
I was still just growing
a different way that, but at the time
scary.
It felt
really scary. But what had ended up happening is that, at least to me, from my eyes, and preface all of this with the fact that this had been going on from, you know, like prime growing years of 13 to 17. So add that, I'm young. But everything felt, of course, so serious. But then, of course, on top of that, when I wasn't getting a role or was getting close, everything felt very body beauty centric. And that's not 100% true, but you know, at
that age, it's hard too.
It felt like it was, you know, and I would always say, even at that age, like, I can handle if I'm not good enough, but being told I wasn't pretty enough, that I was fat enough, or that I was too fat, and that I was weird, or all these other things that I heard from casting directors or producers or director, whatever, it was really taking a toll on me. And it got to the point where I was having panic attacks before going into the audition room. And I was so excited to get accepted to USC, but so nervous to be accepted as a theater major, because I kind of dreaded things at that point. It wasn't fun anymore. The fun had been sucked out. It felt like people were just watching me, and not for my talent, but for my looks, for my body, to find the negative things, to find what they don't like.
It was all hyper.
It was so. It felt so overwhelming.
Well, and on top of it, that jump, there's such a, you almost feel like there's such a bubble when you're in one part of the industry.
Yeah.
So the fact that you've done so many different is so, like, it's impressive. Yeah. But it's really hard to be able to feel like, you feel like you have all this pressure to stay in one lane.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, being able to even be like, okay, I want to go to college.
Right. They're like, what?
Yeah. What do you mean?
You have to go to auditions. So I did first semester as a theater major, and I just really felt it. And I also felt, if I was, there's always so much, I am still learning. Like, I hope that is like the main thing people are hearing listening to this right now. But I felt like I needed a new experience. Mm-hmm. And so that was what led me to, I like did some search on some majors and saw music industry, was like, I think that really fits. Like, I think it would be really good to learn something I know nothing about behind the scenes and kind of delve into what that all looks like. And I'm so glad I did. So second semester, sophomore year, I transferred to music industry, and probably the best decision I made for my college experience and for my career. I think it was really good to put acting down for a while. I think I was one bad professor away from like quitting for forever. And that didn't happen. I had great professors my first semester in theater. That was not part of the problem. I loved the theater program at USC and felt so lucky to be a part of it. But it was just a lot at the time. So it was interesting to step away. And I really spent those 3 years just as a college student. I remember my senior year, we had a capstone project and we could work on whatever we wanted for the entire year. So it was my artist project and it was me re-releasing songs. And a lot of my classmates were like, you sing? Like, I didn't know that. Like, it was really something that I just was like, I just want to not be that for a little bit, if that makes sense. Like, I just want to put that in the closet for a hot second. But I'm so grateful I did do that, because I think it's the only reason I'm back here today.
Yeah.
I think if I had tried.
You needed those years.
To muscle through all of those feelings, the anxiety of being in the audition room, the anxiety around performing, I wouldn't be able to show up today anymore.
Well, and you need the breaks. You need, like we said, you need the breaks. You need those years. And you need time to just be a normal kid
sometimes,
you know? Yeah, you need time to be a normal kid. And it is, we always joke, because when we first met, we went, like, I can't even, it was what, 2 years probably after we met?
Maybe a little more.
So we were probably like, 14, 15, something like that. And in California, you get your learner's permit at 15, right? Yeah. And so we both went to, we met at Aroma Cafe. And
for lunch
to get our salads, to get our big bowl of like $40 salads that we
could totally afford at the time.
Yeah, not taking
totally
from our
not a problem.
And we both showed up and made our moms drop us off around the corner from where we were, but we asked, both of us asked for the car keys to make it look like we
had driven
ourselves there. And so we both like, oh my God, like threw the keys on the table.
Traffic.
Oh my God, were you on the 405 for that long? I was on the 405 for that long. Meanwhile, Sarah and Andy are both like, how's it going in the car fully? We don't even have our learner's permits yet. But that's the mindset is, you know, you're dealing with agents and managers and not normal child things when you're young. So it is, sometimes you do have to, it's hard to remind yourself that you do have to have those years, and it's important. And I never understood when acting coaches would tell us there's certain experiences that you haven't experienced yet. And in certain auditions, it would be really hard to
because you're
tap into that.
I think Alyssa and I both also suffered a bit from the same problem in our childhood acting years. We looked really old for our age,
and then we got older
and we looked
really young.
Thank God. I was consistently worried. I was like, wait, so am I gonna be 30 and look 45? Like,
it felt like as soon as we hit 18,
I
18 to play younger. But when we were,
we send you in for the 14 year old?
We still look so young.
But when we were 16,
they were like, well, you have to play 27.
Yeah,
but there's certain experiences that now we've had now, but as a 14, 15, 16 year old, like, child,
what are they talking
haven't
about?
Had. I'd add on top of that, not only as normal,
yeah,
13, 14 year olds,
homeschooled
kids. We're like getting scripts and we're like, okay, what?
I'm in the desert. There's no food or water. Like
what?
Or even just like the happenings of a normal high school. I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I get it. Like
the lockers.
Lunch table. Yeah, no, locker.
Locker.
Right. Okay, cool. And I probably put that combination in really quick. I probably never done that. Prom. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that. I could do prom.
I can pretend prom.
High school football game.
Yeah.
I get the idea.
Which is, I mean, so I'm glad that you did experience that.
But I did end up getting, exactly.
You did. Like, you had the experience.
Through formals, I kind of felt like I got to go to prom a little
bit-ish.
Yep. But, you know, it's all obviously different, but then I got to go to the football games. I got to do all that sort of stuff. So it definitely was a really great break of like a kid.
Yeah. You were
a child for a second.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We needed. I did 1 year of regular real people high school. I did 1 year. I mean, we had gone to public school and regular schools before
I had
middle school. No, you went to regular, like when you were little.
Until fourth grade.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Shut up. It does.
I was a fourth grader.
She said, I have not.
What's that game?
We're fine.
Yeah, no,
we're fine.
Put your finger down
if you never ever went to regular school ever.
All fingers down for me.
So I want to get into Nashville. One more thing. I keep saying I'm going to touch on it. How do you feel, and what would you, if someone else is listening to this and going through the rejection of honestly any industry, you're going to face rejection, but it is in the entertainment industry, it almost feels like it's a new level. And how would you say you built yourself, like how did you deal with the rejection, first of all, and then how do you think you got to the point where, like, you know,
I don't know if I'll ever fully be at the whatever, you know, it's still so hard. Yeah, pretend. It's still so hard to hear a no.
Yeah.
It never gets easier. It never gets less frustrating, especially when you are working really hard towards it and you feel like you're working really hard or something feels right. That no doesn't get easier. So that's spade, honest truth. Probably never going to be a piece of cake. But I think the difference between taking it personally and it, you know, there's a difference in how you're affected when it's affected of like, oh, I'm not good enough. I didn't get this because I'm not good enough versus really realizing that it's so rarely about you in the room. I think if you're any point, which everyone always said this to me as a kid, and I'm sure you heard it a million times, but it's so hard to believe. If you were any point beyond a callback, it is no longer about your talent.
Yeah.
The reason you're hearing a no is not because you're not good enough at that specific point in time.
Yeah.
Like at that point, they think you are checking a lot of boxes that could play the role. You've been brought back.
Yeah.
And so at that point, if you get a no, it was your height. It was your age. It was the color of
your
hair.
Well, this is what we were saying earlier. It's like, you look like you're, you know.
Right. Like, and that's
19.
Where
it can't do
so
anything about it.
As a kid was like, I can't fix that.
Well, and you're going through normal
changes
that are already
puberty,
stressful.
And then someone's like, yeah, your hair's a little bit ugly. And you're like, oh, okay, cool.
The shirt,
mm-mm.
Weird.
You're like, my favorite.
First shirt I ever picked for myself. Well, and the funny thing is for auditions, there's like an audition closet.
Yeah,
you know, like you have your audition wardrobe. Like, this is what I'm going to wear when I need to be her. This is what I'm going to wear when I need to be her. So like you have your audition wardrobe. And if something in that wardrobe doesn't work, oh my God. It's like, what do you mean?
Where do you go from there?
That's that's Girl Next Door.
Like, Girl Next Door has to work.
That's,
it's like, gotta fit.
We're not replacing Girl Next Door shirt. So
that's the one. But I think remembering that at the end of the day, your number one job is to show up 100% authentically as you. And that's the hardest thing to do. That is the most difficult thing to walk in the room and do, because it requires vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It requires that you are actively living in the moment as well, specifically speaking towards theater and acting and things. Mm-hmm. That requires a lot of being present, which sometimes in life and in the room, the easiest thing to do is like, okay, turn off. I know these lines. Mm-hmm. I'm not here. The most authentic thing to do is show up wherever you're showing up at today sometimes. And learning, truly, I think one of the best skills I've learned over the many years of being in this is using the energy I'm coming in the room with. Not trying to change it, but like, okay, this scene might be charged differently today than it was yesterday.
Yep.
But like, how do I still find my way authentically? Because then that's when you're surprised. And that's when real things come out. And that's when you're just living life and someone just gets to watch you live and gets to be a part of that experience. And I think in order to be able to show up authentically as you, the second part of your number one job of showing up 100% as you is cultivating places, spaces, and people that allow you to do that. So the right coaches, the right classes, the right friends, the right confidants, whatever, right boyfriend, right girlfriend, anyone around you who is always allowing you to be yourself and encouraging that self to be at the surface.
So true. So true, because we've seen
people take your spark away.
Yeah, they really can.
They really can. So I think that's really like your biggest job as a young creative is to facilitate those spaces and have boundaries when it's not
so true.
Allowing you to be yourself.
And nurture those relationships that are, mm-hmm. you know,
encouraging.
Encourage you loving. And that are your cheerleaders.
Yeah.
You need cheerleaders. In any cheerleaders. Anything you're pursuing, you need cheerleaders.
Yeah, 100%.
So I want to talk quickly about Nashville. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about what you're doing now,
mm-hmm.
and where we are now. So you moved to Nashville 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Just about six Crazy. Years ago. And so how do you feel like country music has, because acting and obviously you were saying it when people were in an school with you, they were like, wait, you sing too?
Yeah.
So how do you feel like now it's blending back into your theater? How do you feel like that's brought you back to this mm-hmm. point?
I've
training wise and yeah. just overall,
I've gotten so many questions whenever I tell someone like on the country music side that I do theater or whatever, and I always say they go so well together to me, because at the root of both is storytelling. Like, the whole goal of country music is to tell a really good story that someone has to listen to an entire 3.5 minutes to know how that story ends.
It's true.
Those are some of the best songs we know, which is also our job in theater, that you have to stay for a whole show to watch me go from point A to point Z and see how I got there. So I think they really live in far more similar worlds than a lot of people realize. Take out, you know, genre and style.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously changes things a lot. I think on a craft aspect, where things are at now is that working in theater has allowed me to push that storytelling side of country music even further. And I think on the same note with country music playing in theater, as a songwriter, maybe I'm almost giving myself too much credit, but it's like, I really understand the value of words.
No, that
like
makes sense.
As an actor, you have, I think someone did the stats, it's like 300 words per song. So the composer had 300 words to give me to tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
So every word I say matters. Mm-hmm. Everything that falls out of my mouth in this song matters on both ends. But that's where the country music and being a songwriter, I think, has really influenced the theater and the acting side, is really this emphasis on like, why that word? Why this? Mm-hmm. Because once you get in a room writing a song and it's like, well, should we say can't or won't? And it's like a big debate on why it should be can't or won't or whatever. That's like a silly example. But those things become a big debate. So yeah. I think it has given me a different lens when I approach something in a theater realm to look at like, okay, I wonder if they thought, should I say can't or won't? Ooh, and they chose won't. I wonder why. You know, it's given me just a different angle in a little bit.
I love that.
Thank you.
That was so beautifully said. And I think, again, it just shows all of these different worlds that you've tapped into and how they're blending right now.
Yeah.
So what are you doing now? Where do you see yourself? First of all, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Let's think long picture. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, gosh.
Career wise, and what right now is what's inspiring you? Give me your current status.
Okay.
You're in New York.
I'm in New York.
And Nashville.
And Nashville. Current status is Hannah Montana. You get the best of both worlds. Truly planting seeds in both places. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the limo up front. A little bit New York and a little bit Nashville. And just really consistently trying to grow my craft. Mm-hmm. And honestly, just putting myself back out there. It's auditioning again. It's not... You know, I'm not going to come on a podcast and be like, oh, well, it's great. I already booked something huge. So everything's super easy.
So anyway.
toss.
No, but it's true.
It's putting myself back out there in the audition world and all that sort of stuff and continuing to write, record and release music in Nashville. And I think as far as the five-year plan goes, this is not a cop-out answer, I swear. I thought about this.
No, it's okay. I have my own.
I've learned not to do those because I never would have said this in 5 years. And I think if you get too rigid on, especially in a creative career, on where you see yourself in 5 years, it gets really stressful when things start moving. And it's really hard to just embrace where
you are.
Life is taking you.
Well, and like you said, I mean, I'm sure when you were at USC... You know, you wouldn't think, hey, 6 years down the road, I'll be, you know, doing country music. And, you know, it's like you can't predict.
No,
so
you can't predict.
It's not a cop out. It's a good answer.
Yeah. So
maybe I was testing you.
I don't know. Maybe.
If you were, one of my final questions, if you were to talk to little Kaylee.
Aw.
You're going to cry.
I knew this was coming.
If you were going to talk to little Kaylee and give her... Oh my God!
Stop it! I can't We're even very look emotional. At you while you ask this.
Well, I'm and she could literally have a glimmer in her eye, and I will just start bawling. I'm just very emotional. But if you were to talk to little Kaylee and give her a piece of advice, and now seeing all of the chapters that you've gone through and all of the lessons that you've learned thus far and still to learn, what would you tell her? And what would you tell another little Kaylee, someone who's in a similar boat, maybe another girl who's looking to get into the entertainment industry, doesn't really know, but just has this passion.
Yeah.
What would you tell her?
A little bit goes back to the people, places, and spaces. I would tell her that, you know, I always kind of think about being given a little flower, like... I was given this little inkling to perform and sing. Okay, yeah, I'm going to tear up. So I would tell her that, like, her only job is to protect that flower and to, like, take it into good rooms, good places. And if that means, like, setting the flower out in the sun and not, like, playing with the flower for a little while, that's okay. And that, like,
it's
better if the flower can, like, sit and grow. And that it's okay to have the ebbs and flows that, like, because I think the other thing that comes in with a creative career that I've really struggled with is life. Mm-hmm. On the other side of it, relationships, family, all these other things that come in with it. And I think, like, what I've becoming an adult from a kid in the entertainment industry, I've had to be like, it's okay to live your life. Like, it's okay to move. You don't have to stay somewhere. Like, the dream will follow you where it's meant to follow you. And if it's not LA anymore, when it wasn't LA anymore, you don't have to make it LA anymore. And I think that's what I'd go back and tell her, because those feelings coming up of being like, I'm not happy here anymore, were so confusing, because it was like, well, I don't want to quit. Well, I'm not. Well, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Like, what? I would tell her to just like keep that little flower safe and take it with her wherever she goes, and it'll bloom where it's supposed to.
I love that so much. And I've never heard you say that.
I love that. That's
I
beautiful.
Actually caught you surprised on your podcast.
So good. I love it so much. So where can we find you? Tell our listeners where we can follow you, where we can follow your journey, what you're doing.
Should and have all a of the things glistening with the tears in your eyes.
Tear as I
say like, it. Kaylee Nicole. Like that video of me.
There's a video. It's not there anymore, so
it's
I could bring it up.
It's not there anymore. We can talk about it now.
There's a picture of Kaylee that was on one of our acting coaches'
website.
Website.
Like 10.
10.
And it's just a tear.
But she doesn't have like a frown on her face. She has like one of these. And oh it was just God. Like a tear coming down her face. And so it was there for years. I think up until like 2 years ago. Maybe
no,
last year. More recently.
More recently. Because we you sent it to me recently. It was just a couple days ago. And we both went, oh, it's gone.
Yeah. We were kind of insulted a little bit.
It was a little
I'd
offended.
Like for you to put it back.
She redid her website. And I was like, well,
so yeah, let's give a little homage
like listening
to
tear going on. You can follow me anywhere at Kaylee Nicole Music on all socials, Spotify if you want to hear some country music.
Yes.
And Instagram, TikTok,
all the things,
all the above.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having
me. I'm so
me.
Proud of you. I love
thank
you so
you.
Much.
I love
and
you too.
That was so fun.
That was
we
so
have
fun.
To do this again.
That was easy.
That was so
that was
fun.
Easy.
Okay, till next time. Thank you for watching, and I will see you on the pod next time. Bye.
Yay!